Thank you and good evening. And it looks like the rain didn't keep you away. Do you know where I live in Misty Mountain, which is northern New South Wales? We've had a lot of rain. In fact, so much rain that it came a metre above our bridge. That's a lot of rain. But it comes up quickly and it goes down quickly. So we always say when it rains like this in Australia, good weather for ducks. In our first class tonight, we're going to be looking at cancer. I think cancer is a name that strikes fear in many hearts. And as I go into this presentation, I'd like to define very clearly the two methods of healing today. One method is based on faith, and the other method is based on fear. And God said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Isn't knowledge power? Love holds us together. A sound mind considers the pros and cons. Now this method that was based on fear is based on a theory that we evolved. And because we evolved, we cannot heal. And because we cannot heal, then drugs have to be administered. But the fact is, drugs never heal disease. They just change the form and location. Yes, in a crisis, a drug may save a life, but it cannot heal. And as I mentioned yesterday in that little book, The Ministry of Healing, one of my first health books, in the chapter, The Physician, the Educator, on about the second page in that chapter, it says, let the physicians teach the people that restorative power lies not in drugs, but in nature. Our body is the only thing that has the ability to heal, and it will heal, little tiny two-letter word here, if you give it the right conditions. And those conditions are what we're going to be looking at this week. This company that was set up for drugs or to develop drugs is based on deception. What's deception? Not as it seems. The other method is based on faith, and it's based on the fact that we were created in the image of God. And being created in the image of God, we were created to heal. And sometimes we might need a little bit of help, and that's where we can use herbs. And Psalm 104 verse 14, the Bible says that God gave herbs for the service of man. I love that verse. They're here to serve you. Where would you like me? Where would you have me go? Whereas drugs, they're like robots. Get out of my way. I've got a job to do, whether you need it or not. Big difference. So we were created in the image of God to heal, and sometimes herbs can be applied to stimulate that healing response. This is truth. And in Psalm 146, verse 3, the Bible says, put not your trust in princes, neither in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Who are the princes? They're the authorities in the field, the authorities in the field of medicine, the authorities in the field of government, the authorities in any field, nutrition, in herbology, in naturopathy. So when the Bible says, put not your trust in princes, it doesn't mean you don't go and get advice sometimes. But what can you do with that advice? You can take it or leave it. So when you're told you have this, you've got 6 months to live, you've got to do this, do you know what the best response is? Thank you so much for your advice. I'm going to seriously consider this. And you leave. You have got time. Cancer does not develop overnight. You have got time. The problem is, it is shocking news to be told. You have got stage 3, stage 4 cancer. You've got 6 months to live. Quick, we can get you into this treatment immediately. No matter what they say, you have time to think. And you have every right, because God's government is a government of freedom, and freedom is based on free choice. I am the master of my destiny. I am the one that chooses. That's why you say, thank you so much for your advice. I'm going to seriously consider this. And you leave. And you consider the pros and the cons. The amount of people that have come to our retreat and have said to me, if only I'd had time to think, you do, No matter what you say, you do. One dear little old lady said to me, her doctor said she had 6 months to live, and she said, "You're not God. Only God knows how long I've got to live." And if you're ever told that, remember what you say. Yes, you're not God. Only God knows that. But thank you so much for your advice. I'll seriously consider. And you live and you weigh up the pros and cons. There are many different types of cancers. Many different types of cancers. In fact, in my library at home, I'm an avid reader. I have read many books from people who've conquered cancer. Sometimes they're nutritionists, sometimes they're naturopaths, sometimes they're doctors, sometimes they are specialists, scientists, professors, or all manner of people. And sometimes there's the average man or woman who've just investigated, given these things they've discovered to their body, and they've conquered their cancer. So I'm always interested. I want to know their story. I love reading people's stories because everyone has a story. There is no one like you. And that's why I believe God designed that we each be our own doctor. Only we know what we've been through. Only we know how we feel. And only we know how different things react or respond on our bodies. That's why you're the best doctor. Yes, you can get advisors, but what can you do with that advice? You can try it, you can take it or leave it. The beauty of natural medicine is if it doesn't work, it has not hurt you. And what I have found, because I'm looking at the common denominators in all these different writers who've written about their experience of conquering cancer, and I found three common denominators that I want to share with you. And what we say to our guests, we're going to create a condition in your body that the cancer cannot survive. So what does cancer hate? That's what we want to know. Cancer hates low glucose. Because the fact is that cancer cells consume 15 times the glucose of any other cell. Let's go inside the cell and have a look. We went inside the cell a couple of times yesterday, and remember we looked at how the glucose goes into the cell under the action of insulin. It goes through a 20-step pathway. The 20-step pathway delivers to us 2 units of energy. The end result of the 20-step pathway is a chemical form of glucose called pyruvate. And pyruvate, as the chemical form of glucose, gets fed into what's often called the powerhouse of the cell. Called the powerhouse of the cell because this 8-step pathway delivers a whopping 36 units of energy. Whoa! How come a 20-step pathway only gives us 2 units of energy and an 8-step pathway gives 36 units of energy? The difference is oxygen. What a difference oxygen makes. Are you practicing breathing through your nose? What a difference oxygen makes. Remember, you'll get 18% more oxygen into your cells if your nose breathing. This pathway up here has no oxygen. It's what's called an anaerobic pathway. It produces energy by the process of fermentation, whereas this pathway produces energy by the combining of glucose and oxygen. One more thing about these pathways. This pathway is a very fast pathway. Fast pathway meaning it consumes huge amounts of glucose. This pathway down here is a slow pathway. Cancer hates oxygen. In fact, cancer cannot live in the presence of oxygen. So looking at the cell, for those who know the intricacies of the cell, this is the glycolytic pathway and this is the mitochondria, specifically the Krebs cycle. Cancer runs up here. It's consuming 15 times the glucose. It's a high glucose consumer. And it runs with no oxygen. But doesn't every cell in the body need oxygen to run? Yes. But this part of the cell, it can wait for the glucose. Every cell in the body uses glucose. But this part of the cell, it can wait for the glucose to come from the carrot and the macadamia nut and the lentil and the sweet potato. But what really drives this part of the cell is a high glucose diet and no oxygen. And this is actually how chemotherapy works. The cancer cell consumes 15 times the chemo of another cell because it's a high consumer. I was reading the confessions of a chemotherapy sales rep. He said he was in a conference and they were explaining chemotherapy, and the presenter said, "It's a gamble. We just hope more cancer cells die than good cells." And when he heard that, he was shocked. But what shocked him more was that no one else was shocked. I think you'd be more shocked if it was your body. And remember, I'm the master of my destiny, and freedom is based on free choice. I'm the one that chooses. Don't let anyone force you into anything. God's government is a government of freedom. God is a gentleman. He never forces. So whenever a government brings in mandates, that is not of God. Because God's government is a government of freedom, free choice. So if we have a guest and I'm explaining everything I explained today and they go, "Nah, I'm actually going to go with chemotherapy." Do you know what my response to that is? Okay. Because it's their choice. It's their choice. I can't force anyone to do anything. What I do is I present information and I leave the results with you. What will you choose? That's why if someone rings up and says, "I really want my daughter to come to your retreat," my next question is, "Does she want to come?" And they often say, "I'm working on it." You know, the old saying, a man convinced against his will be of the same opinion still. Cancer hates an alkaline environment. Cancer thrives in high glucose. Cancer thrives when there is no oxygen, and cancer thrives in an alkaline environment. A lady rang me up. She said, "Barbara, I've got some exciting news. In America, at some laboratory, they're doing research on cancer. They're finding that it consumes a lot more glucose than most cells, and it thrives in an anaerobic environment." I said, "Well, I'm so glad that they're doing that. But did you know that in 1946, Professor Otto Warburg got a Nobel Prize for that discovery?" Hey. You know, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, it is, he says, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. History shows us much. And so when someone comes to us wanting help to conquer cancer, we come at it from certain points, knowing this. Number one, we starve. So if the cancer cell is consuming 15 times the glucose of any other cell, we put that person on a very low glucose diet. So what foods deliver low glucose? Well, we looked at it a bit yesterday when we were looking at diabetes. What we advise is no fruit for 6 weeks. You see, fruit is high in fiber, high in sugars, low in minerals, whereas vegetables are high in fiber, high in minerals, low in sugars. There are some fruits that we say are allowed because they're very low sugar. That's avocado, tomato, cucumber, zucchini, eggplant, we call it pumpkin, you call it squash. They're low sugars. So what can they eat? Lots of vegetables. And there's so many vegetables. Lots of legumes, lentils, chickpeas, lima beans, black-eyed beans, cannelloni beans. Now, when we look at our immune system, I think we're looking at that Friday night. When we look at our immune system, you will discover that 70% of our immune system is established by our gut flora. Our gut flora is very important. Hippocrates, 400 years BC, he said all disease begins in the gut. The gut's an important place. It's got to be working well. And I'm so glad too, on Friday night, I'm going to take you on a journey through your gastrointestinal tract. We're going to start at the mouth and end up at the other end. Proverbs 14 verse 6 says, knowledge is easy to him that understands. My aim is to give you an understanding. Then you have the knowledge on how to treat it. You can have, say, 10 different types of apples, and each apple will feed a different microorganism. And there's so many different types of legumes, and every different type of legume, it feeds a different microorganism. So if a person has trouble with lentils, I heard someone agree there. Check first, are you rinsing your lentils? That's dirty water. It looks dirty, doesn't it? And you rinse it and you bring it to the boil and there's all that froth on top. You know what that is? Wind. Wash it away. I do not throw the water out when I steam vegetables. No, the minerals in that water. But the dried beans are different. If you're rinsing them well, cooking them well, and they still cause bloating in the gut, that tells me that you lack the microorganism for that lentil or that legume. So how do you develop? You start with a teaspoon. You have a teaspoon a day for a week. You bring it right back till there's no reaction. And then the next week, 2 teaspoons. Next week, 3 teaspoons. And what you will find is little by little, you can help your gut develop the ability to handle the legumes. Because as we looked at yesterday, they are a great source of protein and they're not very high in carbohydrates. So no sweeteners at all for 6 weeks. No fruit for 6 weeks. One lady said, but Barbara, God made fruit good. I said, he certainly did. But we're creating an environment in the body so that cancer can't survive. In his book, The Germ That Causes Cancer, Doug Kuffman, it was out of print. Hopefully they've reprinted it. He also writes with a Dr. Holland. He says, when you deprive cancer cells of glucose, they self-destruct because they're depending on this high delivery of glucose to maintain this fast pathway. So for 6 weeks, in my book, Self Heal by Design, this is defined in the book. After 6 weeks, then the person can go on an antifungal diet, antifungal type 1 or stage 1. And now they can have a little bit of fruit, maybe grapefruit, maybe Granny Smith apples. And then after, say, 2 months on that diet, they can go to a maintenance diet where they can start to have some very low glycemic fruits like your berries. And that's the maintenance dose until the word comes back of the all clear, and we've seen quite a few times that happen. You also starve by making sure that you aren't exposed to anything that could be feeding the cancer, like chemicals. It's time to really investigate the chemicals. Maybe after some of them we touched on last night, you might be surprised that you have your exposure to chemicals. Also, your exposure to electromagnetic field, which can disrupt the electromagnetic field in the body. Also, mold. There is an Italian oncologist called Dr. Tullio Simoncini, and he's written a book called, and the title of his book is Cancer is a Fungus. Ooh. He found that he's an oncologist, Italian, in every case of cancer, he could pick up a presence of yeast. So what he was doing is he's injecting sodium bicarbonate straight into the cancer. He was getting a 90% success rate until, what happened? Until. You could 10 years ago get a little video clip on YouTube where he had a camera down into a lung and saw this white growth cancer. And then he'd inject via a portacath, sodium bicarbonate in, and you could just see the cancer shrink up. Because sodium bicarbonate is the ultimate alkalizer. Remember what cancer thrives in? An acid environment. Now, I don't know how correct the story is, but apparently he injected someone with sodium bicarbonate and they died. I don't know whether they died straight away or the next day or the day after. But he was arrested, thrown into jail on a charge of manslaughter, and all his qualifications were taken away from him. My husband said, if only he'd injected him with chemotherapy. How many die from chemotherapy and there is no ramifications? And we don't know the story. We've had a few people come to our retreat, and when I see them, I think, they look like they're going to die tomorrow. You know, sometimes people come at the very last stage. They've done chemo, they've done radio, they've done so many things, and then they try the health retreat. And you don't know whether that was like this case with Dr. Tullio Simoncini. And one of the criticisms against me is that I quote a disgraced oncologist. He is not disgraced in my eyes. I use him as an illustration to show yet another expert that showed the link between cancer and fungus. Another book that I have in my retreat is he's a professor, Constantini. He's former head of the World Health Organization Department of Mycology. What's the Department of Mycology? The department that studies fungus. And in his books, he's got three main books that I know of, The Garden of Eden Diet, Breast Cancer, Hope at Last, and another one on prostate. And he quotes 30,000 medical research papers showing the link between cancer and fungus. And what you'll find is cancer loves high glucose, and fungus loves high glucose. Cancer loves when there's no oxygen. Same with fungus. It can't grow in the presence of oxygen. Cancer thrives in an acid environment, and so does fungus, so you certainly see some similarities there. Another writer, Professor Constantini's Germany, Tullio Simoncini, Italy. We've got another American writer, yes, Doug Hoffman and Dr. Holland, but also Dr. Colin Campbell, who wrote the book The China Study. And he also showed the link between cancer and fungus. He was asked to go to the Philippines. Children were dying of liver cancer between the age of 8 and 10 years of age. And he found the common denominator was peanut butter. And when he tested peanut butter, it contained the mold Aspergillus. And Aspergillus is the mold that gives off aflatoxin. And aflatoxin directly affects liver. And he did a lot of experiments with this. He injected many rats with aflatoxin. He gave them, because they live in 2 years, and you can see what will happen into a rat, what happened to us in, say, 70, 80 years. He presumed that the wealthy children would be living and the poorer children were dying, but the opposite was true. The wealthy children were dying and the poorer children were living, and the only difference was the diet. The poorer children were eating a lot of vegetables, rice, bit of soy, bit of fish, whereas the wealthy children living in the city, in fact, Time magazine called it in China the meat sweet diet, high meat, high dairy, high refined foods, high sugars. They were the ones that were dying. And this shocked Colin Campbell, because in med school, he was taught you need meat for protein and you need milk for calcium. That's unfortunately about all they're taught. And yet what he saw in the Philippines was opposite to what he thought he would find. So what he did was he did a lot of experiments on this. He'd get 20 rats and 10 of them had been a 20% animal protein diet, and the other 10 rats, 5% animal protein diet, and he injected them all with aflatoxin. 20% animal protein diet in human standards is meat and dairy 3 meals a day. 5% animal protein maybe once a day, a small amount. After 2 years, every rat on the 20% animal protein diet were dead or dying of liver cancer. The other 10 that only got 5% animal protein, no cancer at all. Just to show it's actually not being exposed to this, it's the environment it finds. Do you remember what one of the first things I said? That I say to our guests, we're going to create an environment in your body where it just can't survive. Because it's the body and the body alone that can heal us. Dr. Colin Campbell did another one, 20% vegetable protein, injected them all with aflatoxin, no cancers. See, they just thrive where the environment is right. Let's make an environment where they're not getting their favourite food, which is glucose. Get all exposure to chemicals and moles. And I've had several guests. One very sad story of a lady came to us. She was only 38, had 3 little children. She had advanced breast cancer. And when she heard the lectures, she went, oh dear. I said, what is it? She said, my house. She said, I live on the no sun side of the house. She said, I've got big trees around where my bedroom ensuite and wardrobe is. My shoes are always going moldy. My belt's always going moldy. And she's the cleaner, and every time she wipes it, she's breathing in the mold. In fact, she contacted her husband, said, I can't go back to that house. SBS Television, it's an Australian television station, they've put out a series about 10 years ago called Is Your House Killing You? And it's 2 DVDs and there are 7 shows. We show it to our guests, and just about every series, people were sick, they got the team in, mold. It can be mold in the basement, it can be mold behind the walls, you don't even know it's there. Because I don't live in a moldy house, I can go into a room and I can immediately smell that it's moldy. In fact, I was in a house recently, but within half an hour, I could not smell it. You get used to it and you don't even realize it. I give the history of mold, and I show in Bible times, the house had to be destroyed. The clothes had to be burnt. If there was mold, this is toxic stuff. That's why I wrote the book Self Heal by Design, because of an ignorance on the average person to the dangers of mold. I was unaware. In fact, when I was a little girl and the bread had mold on it, my mother would say, it's all right, you're just eating penicillin. Because that's actually what penicillin came from. How many people take an antibiotic and when they finish, they get thrush? Because that's what penicillin is made from, a mold waste. Yes, antibiotics have saved many lives. I'm not against antibiotics. But I believe most people should have about 2 courses in a lifetime. Did you get that? One lady told me that her little granddaughter had 22 courses in the first year of life. Ooh, that hurt to hear that. And when we look at our immune system on Friday night, you will see that it has a disastrous effect on our immune system, and yet that's the system God put in our body to fight disease. So we need to starve. Starve the cancer, starve the fungus, check that there is no exposure at all to chemicals, to fungus. Number 2, kill. I do think we've got to get away from the kill mentality, because anything that has the ability to kill a small organism has the potential to kill a large. Antibiotics, they will kill bacteria, but they'll kill our good bacteria too. They don't decipher. But the good news is there are herbs that will kill fungus and will not kill you. Isn't that good news? And in my book, Self Heal by Design, I list a whole lot. And one is garlic. Garlic's a strong one. And if you can't handle raw garlic, you can get a bowl of hot soup and crush a clove into there, and just that hot soup will take the edge off it. Olive leaf extract is another one. That's a strong antifungal properties in that herb. Also, grapefruit seed extract. Have you ever eaten a grapefruit and bitten the seed? You'll think the grapefruit's sweet because it's very strong, bitter, volatile oils. Also, oregano, you call it oregano, is that right? Ricky's from the UK and he said, Barb, we have to stick to oregano. Whatever you call it. But just a drop in a little bit of water 3 times a day, it's a strong fungal killer. There they are a few. Podiaco, South American herb, that's another good one. And because microorganisms have the ability to adapt and adjust, and actually that's why we have superbugs, because so many antibiotics have been thrown at these microorganisms, they've adapted and adjusted. We've got to work with the body's mechanisms for healing, not against it. And because these microorganisms have the ability to adapt and adjust, our suggestion is every week you change it, maybe a week on garlic. Then the next week it might be olive leaf extract. And then the next week another one might be colloidal silver. And then the next week it might be grapefruit seed extract. So you might have about 6 different herbs, herbal medications, where you keep alternating. 3, number 3 is to alkalize. Remember that cancer loves an acid environment, so we're going to work towards alkalizing. Now, I did mention that Tullio Simoncini was injecting sodium bicarbonate straight into the cancer. Sodium bicarbonate is released in the lining of the stomach to reduce any stomach acid from going through and burning a hole in the stomach wall. Sodium bicarbonate is released from the pancreas to neutralize stomach acid as it comes out of the stomach. So our body makes sodium bicarbonate. Sodium bicarbonate has been used in agriculture to kill any mold that might be growing on the plants. In fact, our grandmothers used to use sodium bicarbonate to clean mold in a moldy bathroom, because mold loves an acid environment. And sodium bicarbonate is pretty cheap. Can you drink sodium bicarbonate? I don't advise you do, because all you'll do is neutralize your stomach acid. And as you'll find out on Friday night when we go on our journey through the gut, the only part of our body that should be acid is the stomach, because it's only in an acid environment that our protein can be broken down. So the only time that I would advise drinking sodium bicarbonate and water, it's usually a teaspoon to a cup of water, is if someone has stomach cancer and then they drink that first thing in the morning, and then maybe they eat their breakfast an hour and a half later. You see, the acid doesn't come into the stomach until you see, smell, think food. When you come into the breakfast table in the morning and see the food, the brain knows it's coming, then the hydrochloric acid's released. But when you wake up in the morning, it's not there. The other time that the person with stomach cancer could drink sodium bicarbonate water would be just before they go to sleep at night, so that it's working while they sleep. Sodium bicarbonate alkalizes what it touches. If someone has throat cancer or mouth cancer, they could gargle with the sodium bicarbonate and water. If someone has colon cancer, they could use an enema of sodium bicarbonate and water. If a lady has cervical cancer, she could douche with sodium bicarbonate and water. Remember, it's just what it touches. How do we alkalize the tissues? We can alkalize the tissues with green drinks. Green drinks we use at Misty Mountain, and we gather wild greens, we do pumpkin tips, we do all sorts of edible greens from our gardens. And we always put a lot of mint in, so it tastes all right. We blend 4 cups of wild greens with 4 cups of water. We blend it, we strain it, and then we put it into little bottles. And that's green water, and it tastes like you're drinking liquid grass. That's why I put mint in it, so it tastes a little bit better. Or sometimes we might put some lemongrass in it to have a little bit of a different flavour. But green drinks are very high in the alkaline minerals. This is the molecular structure of human blood, and this is the molecular structure of plant blood. It looks almost identical. So that's the plant and that's the human. And of course, plant blood is green and human blood is red, but there is one difference. The middle molecule in plant blood is magnesium. The middle molecule in human blood is iron. So especially for blood cancers, lymphomas, the green drinks are wonderful cleansers and alkalizers of the blood. Now, if you don't have wild greens and you can't make the green drinks, you can buy green barley powder and mix that, a teaspoon of that, with a little water and maybe a squeeze of lemon, and have that 3 times a day. Because when that green juice gets out of the blood and into the tissues, it alkalizes the tissues. You can even buy liquid chlorophyll and have maybe a half or a teaspoon of that 3 times a day. Super greens, anything green. Another way to alkalize is, yes, the sodium bicarbonate, but as I just mentioned, it's only going to alkalize what it touches. And it was probably about 20 years ago, a Canadian doctor gave me a recipe for sodium bicarbonate wraps. And the sodium bicarbonate wraps are where we use 2 kilos of sodium bicarbonate, 5 litres of very hot water, and the juice of a lemon. And we dip towels in there, wring them out, wrap them around the torso, then cover it with a blanket, must be wool. And then a leg, and then the other leg, an arm and an arm. So the whole body's wrapped up in hot sodium bicarbonate infused towels. Then we wrap the whole body in a woolen blanket. Can't be any other blanket but wool. Wool will insulate and it'll breathe. So what happens is when the body's in that, the pores open and the skin starts to absorb the sodium bicarbonate. You can Google Barbara O'Neill, sodium bicarbonate wraps, or sometimes they're called alkaline wraps, where you'll see a little video clip of me demonstrating how to do the sodium bicarbonate wraps. What also alkalizes is the hyperbaric chamber, because oxygen alkalizes. And I know that in Eden Valley, a health retreat in Colorado, they have hyperbaric chambers. Hyperbaric chambers were developed to help divers with bends. When we breathe in air, we breathe in, that air is 79% nitrogen, 21% oxygen. So what would happen with the divers? They'd come up too quick from down deep in the ocean and they could not breathe out the nitrogen quick enough, and it would go into little bubbles in their joints, in their muscles, and be very painful. That's the bends. So the developed hyperbaric chambers, because Henry's law states that under pressure, more gas goes into liquid. And of course, the gas is oxygen and the liquid is our blood. But what they discovered is those hyperbaric chambers are also very helpful in increasing wound healing, especially for the diabetic, but also helping people to conquer cancer. Because remember, cancer hates oxygen, and the hyperbaric chamber ups the oxygen content in the body. These all help to alkalize. But also, in my book, Self Heal by Design, I have a chapter on the acid-alkaline balance in the body, showing all the foods that have a more alkaline effect. It probably doesn't surprise you to know that the most acid-forming foods are refined sugar, caffeine, meat, dairy. There is a big difference between the cow's milk in the supermarket and the cow coming and the milk coming straight from an organic cow as raw milk. I certainly recognise that milk can be more on a neutral pH. So this is what we find is very, very helpful in helping people to conquer cancer. It's basically giving the body the conditions for healing. And we've seen many people conquer cancer. We can never predict what will happen. If someone comes to our retreat wanting help to conquer cancer, we say to people, we see three outcomes. Number one, we see people heal. Not in a week, but they contact us maybe 6 months or a year later and tell us they've got the all clear. So the other result we see is six months go to 6 years. And the third one is we've seen the last days made more comfortable. Sometimes people come and it's just the very end of the road. And when they do pass, maybe 3 months later, their relatives ring us up and say, thank you. Thank you so much, because they died with dignity. That the natural remedies brought them peace and brought them relief in those latter days. We had a lady attend our program and she said to me, I've got advanced breast cancer. I've gone through all the treatments. We see this again and again. Person goes through chemo, they go through radiotherapy, surgery, and they're told 6 months later they've got the all clear. 2 years later, now it's in the bones. And I've seen this many times. They have more chemo. Then they're given the all clear. And then another year, sometimes 2 years later, actually sometimes 5 years later, now they've got brain cancer. Were they healed? No. See, if you don't find the cause, you will never have a cure. And there is not one cause. There can be many. But there is one that is often bypassed. And this is a big factor in all cancers of the hormonal system, and that is a hormonal imbalance. The number one hormone in the human body, in men and women, is progesterone. And progesterone is often called mother. And the reason why progesterone is called mother is because from progesterone comes testosterone. You could say this is her son. This is the male hormone. And also from mother comes the female hormones, estrogen. Now, progesterone, as most mothers, she plays a protective role on testosterone. So in a male, when progesterone levels are as they should be, that plays a protective role in testosterone. And when a man has prostate cancer, one of the reasons why he has prostate cancer is because of the disruption in testosterone levels, to the point of causing inflammation of the prostate. And estrogen's main role in the body is that of a cell proliferator. What's cell proliferator? Cell proliferator means causes massive cell growth. Estrogen's not bad, because it's estrogen that causes the skinny young girl to develop into a beautiful, shapely woman. But if estrogen levels remain high, the beautiful, shapely woman can get out of shape the other way. The Australian Cancer Foundation have stated that estrogen is a known human carcinogen, because estrogen, when the levels of estrogen rise with its cell proliferator action, that in itself causes a disruption in testosterone, contributing to testicular cancer and also prostate cancer in men. But in women, this rise in estrogen with its cell proliferator action is causing massive cell growth in the ovaries, This can start with cysts on the ovaries and it can develop to ovarian cancer, causing massive cell growth in the uterus. This can begin with fibroids, even develop into tumours, causing massive cell growth in the breasts, starting with maybe cysts, calcium deposits, even going to breast cancer. A lady came to me, it was about 5 years ago now, and she said, 5 years ago I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I had both my breasts taken off. They cut me from hip to hip, took the fat out, and built two new breasts. But she continued to party. She continued to eat badly. She continued to go to bed at midnight every night. And she did not realise she had to balance her hormones. So what's one of the main causes of this rise? It's the contraceptive pill. In fact, Elaine Hollingsworth, she has passed now, but she was a writer, a health writer in Australia. She calls the pill the mass murder of millions of women. Whew, strong words. Because that's what the pill does. It causes this rise in estrogen. It causes a disruption in the balance of the hormones so the woman doesn't fall pregnant. But if this disruption's happening month after month after month after year after year after year, guess what's happening to estrogen? It's going up, up, up. And guess what's happening to progesterone? Mother hormone's going down, down, down. And it's the mother hormone that is designed to keep the estrogen and testosterone in their proper levels. And how many women in the 1960s, 70s were on the pill? 1960s is called the sexual revolution. Women wanted to be able to have sex without falling pregnant, and no one mentioned that there was any danger. And only now are we starting to see it. If a woman's on the pill for 7 years before she gives birth to her babies, her man and woman child can both be born with an imbalance. This explains the amount of couples that can't have children. The man's got low sperm count. Or another common problem, sadly, is penile dysfunction. The current figures are 50% of men over the age of 50 are struggling with this. Where's my why? There is always a reason. Newton's third law of motion states to every action there is an equal and an opposite reaction. Proverbs 26 verse 2 states that the curse causeless shall not come. It's old English. It means no problem, no curse, no disease happens without a cause. There is always a cause. That's why we all should be private investigators. And sometimes it is the moldy house, but it's also the pill, but it's also the high sugar diet, but it's also the exposure to chemicals. It can be a whole lot of little things. That's why it's important to know your history. Part of being your own doctor is documenting your case. Find out about your birth. Find out about what you were fed. Find out about how many shots you had. Because we are what we are today because of all that. We can't change that. But I'm curious. I want to know why. Maybe it's because my father was an inventor. He instilled it in my brain. I wasn't happy when I was 18, though. When it was time to get my license, you have to be 18 in Australia, I had to learn how an engine works before I got my license. I was not happy. None of my girlfriends had to learn that. But I am now thankful today that Dad drilled into our minds to know why. Maybe this is why my brother's an inventor and my three sisters are all scientists. To know why. But we should all be inventors. We should all be scientists investigating the causes, because there's always a cause. You might not know every cause, but you start to get an indication. So how can we bring back the balance? How can we reinstate mother? Whether it's man or woman, mother needs to be reinstated, because mother brings that estrogen down. Mother, progesterone protects testosterone. Psalm 104, verse 14, the Bible says, God gave herbs for the service of man. And in the wild yam, the Mexican wild yam, God put a chemical called diosgenin. And when this diosgenin is made into a cream, and that cream is applied to the fat cells of the body, the fat cells take it up and it stimulates the pathway that your body uses to make progesterone. And when you boost progesterone, you automatically bring testosterone where it should be. When you boost progesterone, you bring estrogen back down to the levels that it should be. That's the good news. If the hormones have been out of balance for 20 years, might take 2 years, and I find most women do well to be on the yam cream for at least a year. So if there's any cancers in the endocrine system, whether it be ovarian, cervical, whether it be uterine, whether it be breast, it is imperative that the wild yam cream be applied and boost that progesterone to bring that estrogen down. Same thing for if a woman has fibroids or polycystic ovarian syndrome, endometriosis, they all need that wild yam cream. We had a man attend our program and he had prostate cancer. He was 65 and he was having a 3-monthly injection to try and control his testosterone levels. He developed breasts and he was having hot flushes. And he heard about this balance in the hormones. And he also was taught the Sustain Me principles. We looked at them last night. That's what my book, Sustain Me. Sunshine, use of water, going to bed early, sleep. Trust in God. Abstain from anything that harms. Inhale through the nose. Proper nutrition, moderation in all the good things, daily exercise. And he made a decision. Because I'm the master of my destiny, I'm the one that chooses. He made a decision, no more 3-monthly injection. He started to apply the wild yam cream. It's applied twice a day. For a lady, she applies it 3 weeks a month, twice a day. For a man, he's not cyclic. In fact, Cheryl Selman in her book, she describes it like this. She says, men are like the sun. They rise every morning, they conquer the day, go down every night. Men are like the, and that's men. Women are like the moon. Sometimes they're full, sometimes they're half, sometimes they're a little snither. Women are cyclic. And so a woman applies the cream about the size of a pea, twice daily, inside of arms one time, inside of thighs another time, abdomen another time, chest another time. She applies it twice a day, 3 weeks a month. She stops when she's menstruating. But if she's no longer menstruating, she stops for 1 week a month. Whereas men, they just apply it every day, twice a day. So that's what this man did. He started to apply the yam cream. He implemented the Sustain Me principles. He started to drink more water. He started to go to bed earlier. He started to choose to trust in God, to have faith in the great God of heaven and his ability to bless these natural treatments. He stopped his coffee. He stopped his nightly red wine. He went over to a plant-based diet. He started breathing through his nose. He went over to a high fiber, great proteins and fats diet. Moderation in all the good things and implemented daily exercise. His wife emailed me 10 months later. He said the breasts have gone down. She said the hot flushes have stopped and his testosterone levels are the best they've been for years. Wow, what an incredible body we live in. With an inbuilt ability to heal, it longs to heal us. It just needs us to give it the right conditions. One of my favorite emails is from a 38-year-old woman from Norway. She said, Barbara, 1 year ago, I saw your lecture. I was diagnosed with breast cancer. She said, I got the wild yam cream, I implemented the Sustain Me principles, and she said, I started applying castor oil compresses to my chest, where the lump was. You see, castor oil penetrates deeper than any other oil, and wherever it penetrates, it can break up lumps, bumps, congestions, adhesions. She said, I just wore that pack 24/7. She said, it's a year later and I've just had a test and I'm cancer free. I love that story. I never met her. We never talked. She just heard the information and she just did it. She just did it. Do you know, the Bible says in Exodus 15:26, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight. How do you do that which is right in his sight? You look after this body. You do right by this body. But notice it says, you listen. That's what she did. She listened and then she did. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes. He says, then I will put none of these diseases upon thee that I put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Did God put disease on the Egyptians? No, they put it on themselves. Because the more wealthy a nation gets, the more they relax. The more they start having rich food, parties, go to sleep early. Whereas when they're poor, they're working hard, they've only got water to drink and simple foods to eat. And they've tested the bones of the Egyptians. Do you know what they've found? They had cancer, they had diabetes, they had osteoporosis, they had heart disease, they had all the diseases that we're seeing today. Remember what God said, if you will diligently hearken, listen to the voice. Do you know how well she can listen to the voice of the Lord thy God? Your body will speak to you. So this 38-year-old girl that conquered her cancer, as she implemented all the things she heard, her body heard. And she listened. And the lump went down. She started to feel good. What was her body saying? Thanks. Thanks. Can you keep that up? Elizabeth Cott came to us, I think 8 years ago now. She was in her late 60s. She had three cancers in her abdomen. She didn't like what the doctor was offering. Chemotherapy, radiotherapy, we'll try and shrink them and then we maybe can do surgery. She didn't like the look of the symptoms of these strong medications. Do you know what chemotherapy is? Cytotoxic. Do you know what cytotoxic means? A poison to the cell. All cells. Remember the gamble? They're just hoping more bad cells die than good. A friend of hers gave her a DVD of mine on cancer, so she rang up Misty Mountain, she booked in. Elizabeth Cott was Polish. She heard these lectures. She said, oh dear, I think I've found the cause of my cancer. She's never drunk, she's never smoked, she eats plants, but she's on that high carbohydrate diet. Cereal and toast for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, pasta for tea, sugar biscuits, morning, mid-afternoon, or you call them cookies. See, when we come to America and we see signs that says biscuits and gravy, we think, oh, these Americans are strange, because biscuits to us is like a cookie. But I know your biscuits are like a bread roll, isn't it? Or a scone. I think you call it scone. Is that right? Something like that. So that's what Elizabeth was doing. She said, we Polish love our desserts. And she said, I used to make a meringue, a dessert for church. It would be this big, and I think they beat egg whites and sugar, and then you put cream and fruit on top. So she said, I'd do one this big, and I would put in 16 cups of white sugar. Mm. Think of that next time someone offers you a slice. Maybe you'll pick off the fruit from the top. Yeah. That's why knowledge is power, and that's why I believe that this is like a mirror. And as we each look in it, we see different things. Light bulbs go off in different areas. She said, anything you say, I will do. She went on the 6 weeks, no fruit, no sweet at all. Then she went on different herbs every week. She'd change the herb. She had green drinks every day. She had the sodium bicarbonate wraps. She only had them when she was with our retreat. She didn't do them when she went home because it's a specialised treatment, needs trained people to administer it. We didn't have the hyperbaric chamber at that stage. She went back to the doctor 3 months later. Now, when she first saw the doctor, he said, you've got to do chemo immediately. You remember what you say? Thank you so much for your advice. I'm going to seriously consider this. She seriously considered it and chose to come to the retreat. She went back 3 months later and the doctor said, after he'd done several tests, he said, oh, just keep doing what you're doing. What did he say the first time? You've got to do chemo immediately. All her inflammatory markers are down, all her cancer markers were down. The next time she visited the doctor, it was a year after her first visit, one of the tumours had totally gone. 6 months later, another visit, another tumour totally gone. When she visits the doctor today, the specialist, the oncologist, they all come in, they can't understand it. Now, the Healthcare Complaints Commission, the government body that decided to ban me, they claimed that she was a fictitious person. She said, give them my phone number. I said to her a few months later, did they ring you? She said, no, they wouldn't dare. And we have seen such a case many times, which is the good news. We can't tell. We cannot tell what the outcome will be. Sometimes I've seen people, they're young, they're eager, and I hear a year later they've passed. And then I see someone else and they're not as young and it's quite advanced. Then I hear a year later, cancer-free. I can never predict. But I met a lady in Los Angeles last November. She was a woman in her late 40s and she gave me her book to read of her cancer journey. And she got cancer, I think it was breast cancer, so she was taken to the chemotherapy unit because she didn't think there was anything else. And most people don't realise there are options. She started to take the chemotherapy medication. She started to get nauseous. She said after being on the chemotherapy for, I think it was about 2.5 months, she had diarrhea and vomiting 37 times a day. By the fourth month, she could not walk. She had peripheral neuropathy so bad. And when she tried to walk, it was like treading on razor blades. She got thinner and thinner because she couldn't eat. So they tried to put a drip in her arm, but they couldn't find a vein. She was so dehydrated. Her arms were so bruised. She was a dark lady that had dreadlocks. One by one, her dreadlocks just fell. Yeah. I thought, am I reading about a concentration camp here? No, I'm reading about a chemotherapy clinic. And every day, she took the tablet. That's why the Bible says, put not your trust in principles. What's her body saying to her? Stop. After 4 months, she had a scan. The cancer had not shrunk. Still, the tablet went in. A friend visited, and a friend said, I had cancer a few years ago, but I healed it naturally. That's all she said. So when she left, this lady started to Google, has anyone else cured it naturally? She found many, but she was cautious not to go on off tangents. So she found a couple of things that she thought might help. I think one was the black seed oil. Another was turmeric, which helped to get inflammation down. She asked her husband to go and get them. Then she made a decision, no more chemotherapy. And she didn't tell anyone. She took the tablet every day. Put it in her mouth when they went out, she just She didn't even tell her husband. She said that was the hardest thing, but she knew that he would pressure her to continue because he believed the princess that this would save her life. And her family, they didn't want her to die. Little by little, as the weeks went by, the nausea stopped. The diarrhea and vomiting stopped. Little bits of hair started to grow. She went to physiotherapist. At first, she could only do 2 steps and then she had to sit down. It was so painful on the bottom of her foot. But she continued, and little by little, she was able to walk again. I think it was about 6 months after she had stopped the chemo. She was starting to look good. The hair was growing, no more diarrhea and vomiting, no more nausea. She was starting to eat. She went all organic and she went only plant-based. And then it was after 6 months she had a test and all the cancers were shrinking. She still didn't want to tell her husband quite yet. It was the hardest thing I've had to do, but she said, I knew that they wanted me to do the chemo, they wanted me to live. Do you know that lady totally recovered? I think she told her husband after 9 months. She totally recovered. She is cancer-free. I met her. Beautiful-looking woman with her lovely thick hair now. Yeah. That's why I say, put not your trust in princes. But you know, they're just doing the best they know. My husband believes that in another 10 years, we're going to look back on cancer treatments today and say, we're in the dark ages. And they've known this. 1946, Professor Otto Warburg proved exactly what I'm showing you here. That cancer cells consume 15 times the glucose. They thrive when there's no oxygen and they thrive in an acid environment. So just changing that basic environment and the cancer cell can't survive. And often there's a hormone factor. And if there's a hormone factor in prostate cancer or any cancers of the hormone system, then it's important to balance them with the yam cream. We could spend a whole week on this subject. I've just touched on it tonight. And in my book, Self Heal by Design, it's explored in much more detail.